Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 21 to 24. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. This is the word of God.
And the passage that our brother Peter read to us, Ephesians 5 and from verse 21. Now, can I just say a few comments by way of introduction this morning? The danger always when you turn to a passage like this in Ephesians is that it comes across just as almost a moralistic teaching, just telling you what to do and how to do it. So he says, this is for the children, this is for the wives, this is for the husbands. We don't want that to be seen as such. Rather, we see it in the context of all that we have seen over the last few months. Paul is explaining to us in this passage the whole question of new standards for new people. So he's speaking here to the church. He's speaking to those who have been converted by the grace of God. He's speaking to those who have been cleansed to the blood of Jesus from their sins, and they've been drawn into the family of God. And friends, in the family of God, as John Stott's book so beautifully describes, it's God's new society. Now, where we come to this morning is the beginning of the home. So we've been doing lots of doctrine. Last Sunday we had a look at the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. But now from verse 21 he says, you're a Christian. I want to show you how to live at home. So let's pray. And let's ask the Lord to help us, because this is a tremendously important section. Father, we thank you for all that you've shown us over these months, just working our way through this book of Ephesians. And we pray now that as we turn, Lord, to this passage and over the next few Sundays, that we'll touch on the family. Oh God, in a country, in a world where there's so much hurt and heartache and tears and so much divorce, we pray that as we listen to the Bible, it may strengthen our marriages. Pray for every marriage here this morning. Please, gracious Lord, in these days, won't you do something fresh for our homes? And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to speak today on God's plan for the wife. I wanted Mary to do it, but she thought, no, she better not. So friends, we're going to deal then for those who are married, what is God's wonderful plan for the wife of the home? Now, as we come now to verse 21 of Ephesians, I do want to say just two things that are quite important. The one is this, that when we come and say today, especially in our world, what is the plan for the wife in the home? Or what is the responsibility of the husband in the home or the kids? What is the role? What I want you to notice right at the beginning is that we're going to bring everything under the Bible. You see? The Bible must always be our guide. We are not to take our thinking from the world. We are not to take our thoughts from our TV programs. We govern our lives by the Bible. What does the Bible say? The Bible has a beautiful, beautiful plan for families. And secondly, friends, you often find that whenever there are big problems in a family, you will find that there has been disobedience to the Bible. When you don't listen to the Bible, you're going to get into trouble. God is our Father. God is our Creator. He knows what is best. And we need to wonderfully obey. All right? So having said that, let's turn and have a look at this morning the role, the responsibility, the joy of the wife. See verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now there are three things I'm going to say to you this morning. And the first thing is, we need to explain what submission is not. Alright? What does the Bible not teach about submission? You see, friends, the model on which we mold our families is the relationship of Jesus to His church. That's the model. Jesus loved the church. Jesus gave His life for the church. Jesus died for the church. That's the role of the man in the home. He loves his wife. He will lay down his life for his wife. He loves her and protects her in every way he can, as Jesus does to his church. The church comes and says to her Lord and to her King how she is willing and thrilled to be able to live under his love and rule and kingship. In the same way, the wife comes and submits to her husband. Now let's just get rid of the negative. The first negative is that this is not merely a concept for our women. We saw that last Sunday. Submission is a concept for all believers. Remember we saw that last Sunday? We are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. That's how we all live. We are servants of the King, friends. We submit to one another. We put one another first. We are other people centered. We wake up every day and we want to live for Christ and put the other person first. So it's not just a concept for women in the home. The second thing is, by way of a negative, it does not in any way mean that the wife becomes like a slave. Rather, it brings her freedom. From a biblical point of view, the wife is never going to be more free than when she is in submission to her husband, because she's then going to be free to become all that God intended her to become. Because her husband is going to love her and protect her and care for her and enable all the things that God has given in her to develop and to blossom. It's for her protection. In every way. It's not to make her a slave. It's to protect her. Psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thirdly, it does not mean that the wife never opens her mouth or has an opinion or gives advice. It doesn't say that. It doesn't mean she's just got to go there and say yes or no, say three bags full, say. It doesn't teach that. Or, it doesn't mean that all her gifts and talents and her abilities are to lie dormant. Not teaching that either. But rather the picture of the Bible, friends, is that here is a woman who sees her gifts and sees her talents and sees her personality, and she seeks to allow those to blossom, but she focuses them primarily on her home. So we have a picture here of a wonderfully liberated woman. She's not suppressed. She leads a full, meaningful, productive life. Her husband knows how to bring out her abilities right to the fore. And fifthly, it does never mean that the wife is in any way inferior to her husband. We are all absolutely equal. In Jesus, man and wife are equal. But we have different roles. And that's what we are going to see now. So there's the negative. All right? Let's come now, number two, and say, what is the positive? What is this Bible saying when it says to us today, wives, be in subjection to your own husband? The first thing that the Bible is saying, friends, is that she makes herself submissive. It's not forced upon her. She comes because she loves Jesus. She does it because she loves the Lord. She does it because God is her great, great King. And she says, I want to please the Lord. And very willingly, of her own free will, she makes herself submissive. Two, by way of what does it mean? She realizes it's not optional. The verb here is in the imperative mood. So submission is not to be based upon the way her husband treats her. It's not conditioned by her husband's abilities, or his talents, or his wisdom, or his education, or his spiritual state. We can't come and say, I'm not going to submit to him because he's not a Christian. Or I'm not going to submit to him, he's not as spiritual as me. Or I'm not going to submit to him because of A, B, or C. No. Remember, what's his name, Stuart Briscoe, always used to say he may suffer from baldness, bulges, and bifocals. But it doesn't matter. She comes and she says, just as Jesus submits to, just as the church submits to Jesus, it's what I want to do. I'm going to submit to my husband. Thirdly, it's a continuous thing. It's a lifestyle where she very willingly allows the husband to rule the home and to govern the home. Fourthly, ultimately, it's a spiritual matter. It tells us they're heirs to the Lord. So submission, in a sense, to her husband is the state of her love for Jesus, as well as a test of her love for her husband. It's a spiritual thing. But you know what, friends, number five? It's positive. It's positive. It's a very lovely thing to see in a home. When the wife of the husband puts all her talents, all her abilities, all her resources, everything at the disposal of her husband. Her great love is her husband and her home. Notice what I said there, if I may just underline that, friends, for us to think through today. It's not talking here of the wife and her children. You see, the wife's main responsibility is to her husband. There are some homes that have heartaches and difficulties because all the love and attention and affection is put onto the children. Of course she loves the children. But her main role, her main social priority is to her husband. The children are precious to us. but they come into the team. Mom and Dad is the team. Mom and Dad are a team. Some years ago we had a little laugh, if I may share that with you, and one of the boys came and said, "Ah, it's no use. You always work as a team." We were disagreeing on something, and I said, "Hey, that's not, I'm so glad you said that." What a lovely thing to say. You see, her love is primarily Dad. And that is a crucial thing. And so, she's not her husband's opponent. She's her husband's friend, supporter, encourager, lover in every way. Just like the church submits to the loving leadership of Jesus, so the wife in the home, very willingly, out of her love for Jesus, submits to the husband in the home. Dad calls the shots. Dad is the point man. The husband is the point man. Alright? So what does it not mean? We've gone through that. It's not in any way restricting her. It's not in any way holding her back. It's just showing an attitude of willing to submit to the leadership of a loving husband in every area of life. Now what I want to do, just for the few moments that remain, number three, and then the wonderful thing is to come to communion, practically, what does this mean? How can we suggest practically to all our wives here this morning that you go home today, and I'm going to give you 12 things. Alright, so dads, write this down. This is terrific. 12 ways that your wife can show you that she loves Christ and is willing to live under your love. Alright? 12 little things. We'll just have 30 seconds under each. Number one, she makes her home a safe place. That's number one. Her great longing is to make her home a place of encouragement and love, of understanding and a refuge. So her husband comes back at the end of the day, he doesn't want to go to the club. He doesn't want to go to the bar. He doesn't want to go with the boys. He can't wait to get home. That's a wonderful thing. Why is it? Because there's his wife and the home. And so in the home, she's not constantly reminding him of his faults and his mistakes and his failures. She makes home the most wonderful place in the world. If I may say to every wife here today, if I may, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Your home. Number two, always be trustworthy and dependable. Proverbs 31, eh? She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's trustworthy and dependable. Number three, she maintains a loving attitude. Always loving and positive in the home. She directs her attention to her husband. She's his helper. And to her kids. And she treasures her home. Four, she discusses things with him lovingly and openly and honestly. She may not agree on certain things, but it's always discussed lovingly, always honestly, and always openly. Five, she is satisfied with her position, with her possessions, and with her tasks. She's learned in whatsoever state to be content with her husband. Six, she's become patient and forgiving. He makes mistakes. The children make mistakes, but Mom's there. Mom forgives. Mom loves. Number seven, she shows an interest in her husband's concerns and problems. She's interested. She's concerned. And she shares that with him. Number 8. She's hardworking and diligent and ambitious. She's a wonderfully creative member of the team. Man, it's so nice to come home and try this new recipe. Fantastic. Wonderful. Go to the Royal Hotel. And go to Jamie Oliver. What's that guy's name? Got nothing compared to something that's homemade. The best. Terrific. Always nice. What did you try the other day? Mary tried something with broccoli or cauliflower. I can't stand this stuff. But it was fantastic. Number 9, she offers suggestions, advice, and corrections in a loving fashion. She may need to come out to her husband and say, you know, you made a mess there. I still love you, and I still support you, and I'm still going to back you, but I think we should change that one. It's always done lovingly. And he'll have the grace always to do that. Number 10, she looks after herself and keeps herself beautiful, always in the inner person. Tim LaHaye, as you know, some of you read his book on the home, says there's no excuse for her to look like the leftover from a jumble sale. So she's not going to do that. She looks inside. She walks with Jesus and looks after herself. And then number 11, the most wonderful of all, is that she maintains a good spiritual life. She loves her Bible and she loves Jesus and she grows closer to Him. And as she goes closer to Him, it enables her to live what the Lord has been showing us here. And lastly then, she assists and cooperates in raising the children. But you see, Dad's the point man. Dad leads. Dad gives the direction. Dad is the lover. Dad is the heart of the marriage. The world says mom is the heart, not the Bible. The Bible says Dad is. Dad is. And mom comes and loves him. And supports him. And submits to his leadership. Who wears the pants? Dad. Well, my dear friends, next week, the men. They're right. I've asked Mary to go down on holiday or just have something, but we'd love to share that with you, just to show you this beautiful picture of a home that's honoring to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray for every wife here today. It's not easy, especially in a home where she is not loved and appreciated. Perhaps some even abused mentally and physically. Oh, I pray for every wife that, Lord, this lovely picture may be true for her. That just as Jesus is the Lord and the church submits to Him, so she at home may submit to her husband and create a loving, loving home. No place like home. May that always be true for us. Bless every family here today. I do pray very earnestly. Protect them. And in these days, may we here at Christchurch Pinetown have strong, loving, Christ-centered families. And we pray now, precious Lord, that as we partake of communion and remember your amazing love for us, we want to say to you, Lord, we lovingly submit to you. We want you to be our leader. In Jesus' name, amen.